Anyway, take your Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter 1. This is called God's Goodness and Wisdom Are Involved. And it's just a catchy title. It's got nothing to do with the teaching. But actually, we can always see God's goodness and His wisdom. So we start in Genesis 1:1. And we basically, Genesis 1, the first word should really be God. Genesis means in the beginning, or creation. It's Bresis, or something like that. And a beginning, you know, so it's like, you know, here's the beginning. And God, it's all about God. And there's God. And how many other gods out there? No, there's just one God. It's God. And there's nothing else. You may have heard of this guy, Albert Einstein. He was a Jew. And how he came up with the fact that there had to be a God was he traced everything back to, you know, what he called the Big Bang. You know, but he said somebody had to ignite it. So there had to have been a God to kick the whole thing up. So you can't just like Star Wars start in the middle somewhere. You have to go back and you take it all the way back to there's God. And he's just whistling away. Well, there's probably couldn't even whistle yet. So there's just God. That's it. In the beginning then, God was bored. So God created the heavens, it's plural, and the earth because of the immensity of everything. So there was nothing there. And then God decided to create the heavens and the earth. Now, God was planning, God was preparing, God was considering. Then he puts his thoughts into action and creates the heaven and the earth. He didn't just sneeze one day and there it was. No. It didn't quite work that way. Look at Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8, and we go to verse 1, because verse 1 tells us what the subject will be. Proverbs 8:1 says, "Does not wisdom cry?" So the subject matter of this entire passage is dealing with wisdom. In fact, it's dealing with God's wisdom. So we jump down to verse 22, Proverbs 8:22, and it says, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old." Possessed me being what? Wisdom. God had wisdom in the beginning, before he created the heavens and the earth. It was thought through. He utilized his wisdom, okay, to create the heavens and the earth. He didn't go, "Nah, I don't like this," and he wiped it all out and started again. No. All right. "The Lord possessed me," wisdom, "in the beginning of his way, before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." So before the earth, God had wisdom. So God and his wisdom, and then was there in the beginning. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I," God's wisdom, "was with God in the beginning. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth," when he drew a circle over the deep, "when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment." Oh, does that mean that the oceans are going to take over and destroy all the earth? Can't. God already stopped it right here. Sorry. Doggone it. Global warming doesn't work again. "When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass, they should not transgress his commandment," there was a stopping point. "When he appointed the foundations, the boundaries of the earth, then I," wisdom, "was by him, as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." So, out of all the different things God describes here, he lays out in verse 31 what his delight is. His people. When he made people. That was the reason for all this other stuff. God's wisdom God, his wisdom, brought forth people. And to do that, he had to have the heavens and the earth. Look at John 1. Because that's what this verse in the Gospel of John is referring to. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 1. We read John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So, in the beginning, what did we just read? God. Right? God was the Word. Okay? Now, the word Word here is the Greek word logos. Liddell and Scott are two of the best Greek theologians around, and they define the word logos here as that by which the inward thought is expressed, and the thought itself. And the inward thought itself. So, what this is telling us, based upon what we saw in Genesis and Proverbs, was the word, the logos, is the expressed message, statement, communication, declaration, promise, purpose, or plan of God. God was there, and God didn't haphazardly put it together. He utilized his wisdom, thought it through so he could have it set beautifully, and then he could bring people. Thus, in the beginning, out from the wisdom of God, God's most innermost thoughts and plans, the heavens and the earth came into fruition. Then God placed his most prized creation, people, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Paradise. He didn't put them in Cleveland or Chicago. He put them in the Garden of Paradise. He gave them spirit so they could communicate directly with him, since God was spirit. He took care of his people, but then after man took advantage of the situation and fell, they lost spirit. They also lost their home. Then they had to move to Cleveland or Chicago. They lost their homes. And, you know, the Garden of Paradise. Then God's plan called for a promised seed from a woman who would then redeem mankind. John 1:14 says, and the Logos, the Word, was made flesh. So, God's inner thinking, his wisdom, his thoughts became flesh in our Lord Jesus Christ. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Go to Ephesians 3. We'll spend some time in Ephesians, but we'll go to Ephesians 3 to start with. So in Ephesians 3, verse 8, we read, Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, the untrackable riches of Christ, and to make all see, what is the, it's oikonomia, administration, and to make all see what is the administration of the mystery. God is making known the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things, and by Jesus Christ is a forgery. It's not in any Greek text. So, God created all things. We saw that when? In the beginning of the world. And part of what was in the beginning of the world was the fact that there's going to be a need for a Savior, and he didn't tell anybody about the great mystery. Nobody. He didn't pull Lucifer aside, his top angel, and go, hey man, check this out. It's a good thing. God knew how to keep a secret. He's very good at that. All right. So, he wants everybody to know about the mystery now, which was a secret from the beginning of the world, hidden God, who created all things. Why? Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, it's fancy words for, you know, rulers and authorities, the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose, or according to the purpose of the ages. Here it is, the purpose of the ages which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was and is the purpose of the ages. When God was thinking his plan through, he understood, he gave mankind free will, mankind sinned. Christ then, he knew that he had to have a Christ, and he became the subject of the whole word, the whole purpose of the ages. And once he accomplished it, we get to enjoy what he accomplished. So that was the intent. That was the purpose. That was all part of God's great plan. And if you got a problem with it, talk to God. All right, got Hebrews now. Hebrews. Tell you what, let's look at Deuteronomy 29. That's real close to Hebrews. Deuteronomy 29:29. Just I had this in the original teaching. I've gone back and forth in this hours and hours in this teaching. Deuteronomy 29:29. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book in the Bible. 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So God has some secret things. He has some things that he didn't reveal, like the mystery in our day and time. But once it is revealed, then it's for the individuals who get to hear it and learn it and understand it. It's to them, their children, and then those who can then profit from the word, which is understanding the mystery and all the greatness of what's available for us. Now we go to Hebrews. So, that was a lucky strike extra. Didn't cost you anything. Hebrews 1. Okay. So, by God's wisdom, God had a plan. God's purpose, the eternal purpose, the purpose of the ages was the Lord Jesus Christ and his accomplishments. So, what do we do about it? Hebrews 1:1. God who at sundry times, we don't talk like that anymore. God who at different times and in divers manners, in different way, you know, various ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, or he made the ages. God utilized different ways to get his word out, specifically his word about his Son, as word written in the stars. But here, again, it's about the Son, who's the heir. He's he made the ages for the Son, and the Son to rule, and all the people. So, 2 Peter, Hebrews, James, Peter. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. Here's one of the ways that he got the word out. 2 Peter 1:21. Since his Son is the purpose of the ages, it's all part of God's plan. Then 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So, God put Spirit upon certain people, and they spoke the word of God. They spoke about the Christ. They had to do the speaking, though. So, we are also holding a written word. He had it written down. And this tells us where the information comes from. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. 2 Timothy 3:16. The word about Christ was to be made known. So it was spoken, it was written, and in 2 Timothy 3:16, we realize again, all Scripture came from God. It's given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. You're holding revelation from God in your hand. All Scripture given by inspiration of God. And all Scripture's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That an individual who stands for God, that has the gift of Holy Spirit, can be perfect. See, we're perfect. That's not. We're equipped. We're furnished. We're like a house that's got everything in it needs. There's even pictures on the wall. It's got the cable set up. It's got a man cave. Got a refrigerator in the garage, beer, stocked with beer. It's thoroughly perfected, thoroughly furnished. So, that the man of God may be equipped, thoroughly equipped, unto all good works. God has equipped mankind via his Spirit to do works for him, to do good works. So, what are they? Well, go to Ephesians 2. See, God's plan had been with him in the beginning, but it was not realized or carried out until Jesus Christ. God's word was with him in the beginning as a carefully laid plan for mankind's redemption. Once redeemed, mankind now has work to do. And we are equipped. We're equipped by the Spirit to do whatever it is God needs us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of the run of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air. You walked on behalf of the Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past. It was a me-first world in the lusts of our flesh, following the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Our nature of body and soul after Adam, we were children of wrath. That's what everybody else is until they believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that's where we were. And then verse 4 is a but. God, who is rich in mercy, that was part of his plan to be rich in mercy, for his great love, that was one of the things he came up with, great love. I think I'll have great love towards people when I get people. Wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he's made us alive together with Christ because it's grace. By grace. He thought, I'll just give it away for a while. All you got to do is believe regarding my son. You don't have to earn it. It's just grace. Y'all get it. How's that? I'll give it to everybody who's alive for these couple thousand years if they want it. So that's what he did. And then he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that in the future administrations, he can show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through believing, and that not of yourself. It's flat out a gift of God, and it's not by works, because then you could boast you were a bigger sinner, had to wait longer, or you're the most boring person. There's all kinds of ways you could boast about it. So it can't be because of us, and that's all part of God's eternal plan. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Because of the accomplishments of Christ Jesus, because of the accomplishment of Spirit being created within us, we can do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God said, by grace, you get in the door. Now that you're in the door, it's time to dance. Or listen to music, or be the bartender, or be the bouncer, or to be whatever you are there. Okay? But you're there, so do something. And we should work in them, Now, that's not an evil four-letter word, work, like it is with some people. That's not what we're talking about here. That's a good thing. We have grace to get saved. Go to chapter 1. But because we are saved, we can be part of God's eternal plan. We can tell others about the purpose, God's purpose of the Christ. Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, this is an introduction to the mystery, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Remember back in Genesis? He has a purpose. He thought it through. And it just gave God a big smile. Good pleasure to make known. Everybody gets it. Jew, Gentile, black, white, green, doesn't matter. We're all, free people, slaves, men, women, old, young, everybody who believes. So God smiled. It was his good pleasure that he purposed in himself, that in the administration, dispensation is oikonomi, that in the administration of the fullness of times, he's going to gather them all together in one, all things in Christ, those in heaven, those on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Oh, we got an inheritance. That's nice. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. See, again, God's will, God's counsel, God's purpose. God said, I'll give him an inheritance. Then verse 12, why? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and there's the key, you got to trust in Christ, in whom you also trusted when you heard the word of truth. Somebody spoke the word of truth to you. You trusted the word of truth. You became part of the family of God. You got the gospel of your salvation, the good news about salvation, in whom also after that you believed. And how do you know? You were sealed. God stuck a wax seal on top of your head with the Holy Spirit of promise. That sealed it. And it's that Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest money, the down payment. You know, if you're going to buy a house, you got to give them some money. This is my down payment for this car. I'll be back to get the car later. The Holy Spirit of promise that we're sealed with is that down payment. It's the proof we're going to have a full inheritance, which is you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Again, why? So God can get the glory. So God, people go, thank you, God, you got it all figured out, and you even got my life figured out. If I'd stay someplace with you and walk with you, good things will happen. When I stray off on my own, that's when we start having problems like Adam and Eve. So, Romans 6, a great reminder here, one verse. At the end of your life, you're given an envelope. You open up the envelope, Romans 6:23, and it says, you earn death. For the wages of sin is death. That's what you earned in your lifetime. And you went, ooh, bummer. But instead, God goes, ah, just kidding. The gift of God, you get my gift instead. You get eternal life. Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So, what we earned in this lifetime is death because we broke fellowship with God. We didn't walk perfectly, and nobody has. But instead, God gives us the gift of eternal life because of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a great verse. That's why we read it. Now, we go to Luke 14. You probably figured out if you're going to Luke 14, you probably have no idea what's in Luke 14. Okay, Luke 14:26. And we read Luke 14:26. Jesus is speaking to people because it's in red. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's not literally the point. You got to hate them. Now you can move on. Someone's talking about. Let's keep reading. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In other words, you just don't spend as much time with those people if they're not part of the family of God. If they don't add profit to your life, you can't stay behind because of father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, all those type of things. You got to move with God. You get to do the work of God. And whosoever does not bear his cross, in other words, whoever doesn't want to walk with him, you can't be a disciple. You know, if you're going to, you can't enjoy Lincoln Park unless you know the tune and spend some time with it. I have no idea what it would be any of them, but I have a daughter that knows something about music. So, basically, that's what it comes down to. For which of you, intending to build a tower? Now, this goes back to God, God's plan. God has his plan thought through, and he's going, okay, if you're going to build a tower, which of you that decides, I'm going to build Trump Tower? Sit down first and count the cost. It's $16 billion. Oh, yeah, I can do it. All right. Sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Let happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. There's a little building north of town that's still sitting there. Somebody had half of an investment, or said had investment pulled, and they were trying to build a hotel and then other things with it, and there's a shell sitting there. Somebody else is going to take over the project. And you go by and go, look, what a fool. Because that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. No. Okay, they're enabled. So everybody's mocking that person. Saying, the man began to build and was not able to finish. Na, 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 na. Okay. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sits not down first and consults whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000. I got 10,000. He's got twice as many troops. Should I attack? Verse 32. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends, an ambassador and desires conditions of peace. So, likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. So basically, you got to make a decision. Do you like being in, following the prince of the power of disobedience? That it says in Ephesians. Do you like being part of the world and not knowing anything? You make a decision to get born again, to walk with Christ. It's Christ in you, and you keep moving, and you don't let anything keep you from whatever it is God needs you to do. But it's a decision. Now, Luke 18 will make the decision easy. Luke 18, and we go to verse 28. So Jesus is talking to people about this, and Peter speaks up and says, Luke 18:28, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that no man that has left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifest more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." So what has God done? Look, I've got things thought through. I've got things covered. If you have had to leave house, parents, brother, and wife, children behind, you'll get more. You'll get better quality. I don't want more children. I want better quality. And that's what he's talking about here. All right? Who shall not receive manifest more when? Now. Yeah. You get a whole different group of friends. You get a whole different job. You get a whole different city to live in sometimes. You just keep moving, and you don't stay behind. Doesn't mean you lose contact with everybody. I just have to hate you because the word, that's not what it's talking about. If you had to leave because they're holding you back and keeping you from doing what God wants you to do, you're going to get more in this present time. And you just get life everlasting too. Minor detail. So you get more now because God's that big and that capable that you think you're giving something up. God's going more, more, more. Oh, besides that, life everlasting. That's pretty good. Oh, and in case, go to Matthew 11. And in case you thought it was going to be hard work that God has called you to, here, look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28. And this came up in the manifestations, really. Matthew 11, 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor, all you that are working, and all you that are heavy laden, and I will laugh at." No, I will give you rest. "Take my yoke, walk for me, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." And by the way, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Oh, it's so tough being a Christian and knowing you got eternal life and God's helping you and God will open doors and God will do all kinds. It's just tough not knowing any. No, you got all the answers. You got a book that gives you what people out there are spending lots of money on trying to figure out about. And it's like, right here, here it is. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. I got to work for God today. Oh, my God, it's tough. Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes it can be, but it's all mentally, you know. So, 1 Corinthians 15, we're almost done. So, God had a plan, we're part of his plan. We accepted the offer of grace. We accepted the offer of eternal life. Now it's up to us to work for him, to do things, to do whatever it is we're called to do. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, "But thanks be to God, because he gives us the victory. God will help us overcome the different situations in life. The worst that can happen to us is we could, we die. Oh, we got eternal life. We're raised from the dead. New spiritual body. Oh, well, God's got that one beat. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it will pay eternal dividends," whatever it is God needs you to do. Your job is to start living your life and do what God needs you to do. So, John 6 will tell us then what the work of the Lord is. Last verse, John 6. So it's great to be a useful part of God's plan rather than being part of the plan that gets burnt up. John 6:28. And in John 6:28, we read, "Then say they unto him, Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? We want to do these great and mighty works, Lord. What is it that you want us to do? And here's the great response. Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Well, that's difficult. There it is. Believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Benefit, have rest. Benefit from his accomplishments. Receive that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the down payment of your inheritance. Know you got everlasting life, and then just tell others about it. Believe on him whom he has sent. Be a useful part of the plan, rather than everybody going, I wish you didn't show up today. You're hurting and not helping. Well, we want to be part of the useful part of the plan, part of the purpose of the age, to let people know about what Christ accomplished. So, Father, thank you for your word, and that your burden is light, and it's great to be able to know the truth and to enjoy what's available today because of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.